changed on a regular basis. That's what you do with filters. You got to clean them out. They get clogged, they get clagged, they get cluttered. And if you let them be that way, they start to affect the way you see the world, you see yourself, you see God, you see others. It affects everything about our lives. And during the course of that series, I thought we've really got to start to talk about the soul and renewing of the mind and all of those things. So the title of our talk and conversation over the next few weeks is called Soul Control. Soul Control. Not that I want to control your soul, but God wants us to each one individually be controlling our own soul. I've been on a very intentional journey over the last little while with one of my mentors, Pastor Paul Scanlon. You can write that name down. It's Paul Scanlon. And you can Google him. And Pastor Paul's on Facebook. He puts out a lot of little videos and whatnot. He's a mentor for me and has been for some time. And I'm doing a course with him called Aging Well because I'm getting old. And doing it and wanting to age well and wanting to arrive at my destination in a healthy way. And it's a course that has a number of components to it. It talks about aging well physically, aging well mentally, aging well emotionally and spiritually and relationally and generationally. So it's a whole gamut of issues that he speaks to help people become better human beings. Anyone in the room want to become a better human being? That's what we're here to do, is to become a better human being. And so Paul speaks to these issues, and I've been involved in this process for a little while, and it's part of why I've been on a health journey, not just because my doctor told me to, because I've had doctors tell me to do many things over the years that I've just avoided and I've ignored. Any friends out there? And I haven't really taken that news on as seriously as I should have. But with a number of voices that have been speaking into my world, it kind of was a wake-up call. And every now and then it's good to get a wake-up call, like, hello, time to change some things. And so that resulted in me going on a fitness and health loss journey where I lost 18 kilos this year, and I want to maintain that and lose some more so that I can be healthy in my physique, but I don't only want to be healthy there. I want to be healthy in my spirit. I want to be healthy in my soul. And so I thought I want to speak on these issues to us as a church to help us in terms of this, because I want to be better in so many ways. I want to have a better sense of self-awareness of who I am, my space in the world and the places that I belong, and to own my zones and to be healthy in them. I want to also be emotionally consistent. Turn to your neighbor and say, that could be something for you. I want to learn to be emotionally consistent in the way that I do my journey, because I find that so many of us are ruled by our emotions rather than our mind. And I'll speak to that for a moment this morning. I want to have a better sense of consistency in every area of life. And so the health of my soul has become extremely important and highlighted during the season. So I want to talk about soul control. Before I go any further, in regards to Martha and the ceremony we did yesterday, we have a book in the foyer that's at the Connect desk in the foyer. If you'd like to sign that for comments this morning and share your thoughts and thanks, you can do that straight after the service at the Connect desk. So here's my big question. My big question is, how healthy is your soul? How healthy is your soul? It's a good question to ask yourself and to ask of yourself every now and then in regards to the soul. How healthy is my soul? Because the truth is, you don't get a healthy soul by default. It doesn't happen just because you get mature. It doesn't happen because you graduate university or high school. It doesn't happen because you get married. It doesn't happen because you get a certain age under your belt or a certain mileage on the clock. It happens because you're deliberate, and it happens because you're intentional, and it happens because you consistently learn to feed your soul what your soul actually needs to be fed. You know, the reality is, in our lives and all of our lives, what happens is, from the moment we're born, our soul starts to unpack itself. And it unpacks itself, and it is constantly under attack from the day you're born. From all the environments that we're exposed to, our family environment, our education environment, also where people educate us in certain ways and tell us different things. And what happens is, people say things over us, they label us with stuff. We make our own goof-ups, our mess-ups, our mistakes, and our soul gets under attack from all of this that happens to us, and it affects us, and it affects our soul. and your soul lives with a sense of damage. And then throw in the whole sin factor and everything we deal with our sin nature, and our soul is under constant tension. And it's not until you get to a point where you realize, I've got to start to look after this thing because this thing is the real me. You know, your soul is the real you. When I say that word soul, the trouble for many of us is we really don't understand what our soul is. Like, we hear that terminology in church, like, God will save your soul. And we're talked of as souls. But we really don't understand the mechanics, the dynamics, and the hierarchy of what the human soul actually is, because we don't see it. See, we see the body, and we look after the body, and we dress up the body. Some of us. We present it in a healthy way, in a good way, and we look after that because that's what people see. But people don't see your soul. But in another sense, they do. They see it in your behavior. They see it in your responses. They see it in your relationships. They see it in how you live life and how you journey through life. So your soul is really important. We're told that our soul will be what is judged. Our soul will be what is eternal. In actual fact, the soul is the real you. It's your essence. It's your core. It's that eternal part that has always existed and always will exist. Your body is temporal. Your body will pass away, but your soul will live on forever. And so there's components of the soul that we need to understand, and to understand how they work, because it's such an important part of our makeup and our fabric. And in actual fact, it determines who we really are and how we manifest in life, because we live from the inside out. We live from our soul. That's where we live. And it's important to understand the dynamics of the soul. And so in terms of the soul from a biblical perspective, the soul is mentioned as being, it's a part of our makeup, which is our mind, it's our emotions, and it's our will. It's that part of consciousness that allows us to reason things and develop things and have understanding of things and determinations of things. It's that part of us that enables us to develop intentionality about how we live. And Paul says this about the soul. He says, not the Apostle Paul, Paul Scanlon, my mentor, says this about the soul. I thought I should differentiate there. He says this. He says that there's a hierarchy to the soul. There's a hierarchy. There's levels of leadership in the soul, in those three components of the mind, the emotions, and the will. And what he says is what the Bible says, is that our mind is really the number one important thing when it comes to our soul. It's the mind that controls and determines the outworkings of the soul. And so the mind determines our emotions, and our emotions, we know this one only too well, our emotions determines our will, our actions. So we're led by our emotions, and our emotions are intended to be led by our mind. But herein lies the problem. For many of us, our mind is not what is determining our behavior and our responses and who we are. For many of us, it's our emotions. Our emotions are giving leadership, and that's why I say all the time, don't be led by your heart, lead your heart. People say, well, I've just been led by your heart. If I was led by my heart, I'd be sitting on the Gold Coast today in a coffee shop somewhere, eating bacon and eggs, reading the Sunday paper, kicking back, just having a good old time if I was led by that part of my soul. But because my mind is leading my soul, here I am in church today with my family at home where I belong. So you get yourself out of place when your emotions lead your life, when your emotions are determining your will and your decisions and your intentionality. And so it's really important that we understand and we function according to this hierarchy of the soul, because if we don't, our emotions will derail us. They will dethrone our mind, and they will have us living in this whole world of drama all the time and responding to drama everywhere because we're being led by our emotions. Does anyone know anyone that is led by their emotions? We all have friends like that, and they're up and they're down and they're up. There's no consistency. And that's what I mean by having a sense of emotional intelligence, about learning to be consistent and ruling what's going on in your world. It doesn't mean you don't have troubles. It doesn't mean you don't have struggles. It just means you have an intentional mind that is going to determine what emotions you allow your mind to run with. What emotions you allow your mind to run with. You see, the mind is a thermostat for the soul. It's a thermostat for your soul. So if your mind is not setting the level, your emotions will be. Your mind is in charge of generating moods, of generating the moods that we have and the feelings that we have. The feelings we have no transportation, is what Paul says, on their own. They have no transportation of their own. They need transportation. So what happens is often we allow our mind to go and transport our feelings somewhere and our emotions somewhere to bad places, which results in bad decisions, in bad reactions, in bad responses, and in bad relationships, because we're not having a sense of soul control. And so I want to speak about soul control because it's so important. It's going to help us in all of our worlds. It's going to help us in every way, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, because there's a lot of things people do financially that sometimes it's just dumb, sometimes it's just silly, and it's hard to tell someone when they're doing something dumb and silly in that area as much as it is in any area. And so we need to learn control and hierarchy, the hierarchy of control of our soul when it comes to all of this. So I want to turn to a few scriptures. Some are familiar, some we've dealt with just recently, and some aren't. Oh, we've gone past all of that. Look at that. That's amazing. Tony, where did you go? Ephesians 4:23. Paul said this. We looked at this in our last series, that we need to be continually renewed in the spirit of our mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. Continuously means continuously. It never ends. It's an ongoing process throughout our entire human experience where we need a continual renewal of the spirit of our mind so that we are fresh and untarnished in our mental and spiritual attitudes, which Paul says in Romans 12:2, the Apostle Paul, stop imitating the ideas, the ideals, and the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly, speaking of the soul, inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how we think. Do you know what we need today? We need a total reformation of how we think. That's what we need. A total reformation of how we think, not allowing our thoughts and our thinking patterns to be determined by the culture of the world, but to have it determined by the culture of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, this will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life. How many of you want a beautiful life? Come on, anyone in the room want a beautiful life? I want a beautiful life. I want to be a better human being. Do you want to be a better human being? Then this is how it happens, through being empowered to discern God's will through the renewing of the mind, to live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in the eyes of Jesus. So here's our text for today. This is our text for the next number of weeks as we look at this subject of soul control, where the Apostle John, who was the apostle that he bragged about the fact that he was the closest of all the apostles to Jesus. He was the one that, you know, had this really close, meaningful, special relationship with Jesus. He was the only living apostle, and he wrote this to the church and to a man called Gaius, his friend, and he said, Gaius, my beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, and be in health. Prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The Amplified Version of the Bible puts it this way. He says, I pray that you prosper in every way according to the prosperity of your soul. In other words, John the Apostle is telling us here that there's a link to prospering in life, and that link is the prosperity of your soul. In other words, as you are inwardly, so you will be outwardly. And so he's saying, give attention to the prosperity of your soul. So to live this beautiful life that Paul talks about, to live this beautiful life that he highlights, he says you need a constant renewal of the mind. You need to be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, in your mental attitude, and your spiritual attitude, inwardly renewed by the Holy Spirit, a total reformation of how you think, and to live, in my wording, with a sense of soul control. So to set the stage for this series, I've got a number of things I want to look at. Firstly, a premise, then a key. And we're going to do three of these today as a launch pad for our thoughts about building a prosperous soul, a healthy soul, and having a sense of soul control. Here's my premise from the verse we just read. God wants us to prosper in all things and live in health. I believe that. God wants us to prosper in all things and live in health. Now deal with the word prosper, because people have reactions to that word, oftentimes in church world, in church life, either because of their personal circumstances, situation, or the religious framework and frame of reference that they've grown up in. I'm not talking about dollar signs, although I don't mind prospering financially. Is there anyone in the room that is absolutely opposed to financially prospering? Didn't think so. Because when you financially prosper, you can live well, you can help other people, you can do good, you can help the poor, you can overcome compassion fatigue when you live well financially. But I'm not referring to just that today. It says in all things. Would you say those words, all things? All things. Prosper in every area of your life and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. You know, when your soul prospers, it's going to bless every area of your life. But here's the key. It's according to the prosperity of your soul. According to the prosperity of your soul, that's what determines whether you can prosper in all areas of life. You'll prosper financially, you will prosper relationally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, generationally. Every possible way you will prosper if your soul prospers. It means you will grow. You'll be on a journey of growth in those areas. So a prosperous soul or a prosperous life is one that prospers in all things. I know people that are filthy rich yet are really poor in their soul. Really poor in their soul. They're devastated in other areas of life. I know people that are really intelligent and smart yet are so stupid. Have you met people like that? I mean, we all do. We've been that person sometimes. We've been that person at different seasons of our life. So we all know this. We all own this. And so this is important to engage with and embrace so that we can break free and live bigger. Listen to what the Apostle John says in the next verse in 3 John 3 when he's referring to his friend Gaius about prospering in all things. He says this, "For I greatly rejoiced, brethren, when the brethren came and they testified of," listen to these words, "the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." He says, "I greatly rejoice when I heard the truth that's in you, just as you walk in the truth." The Apostle John gives us a little glimpse here as to how Gaius was to have a prosperous soul, and it was to do this, is to get the truth in you, to get the truth in you. And he's saying, "I'm rejoicing in the truth. I know that it's in you and the truth that you are actually walking in." You know, it's one thing to know the truth. It's another thing to do the truth. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it. And in actual fact, you only believe the truth you do. You don't believe the truth you know. You believe the truth you do, not the truth that you know. So for me, my thought today is one of the great keys in having a prosperous soul is to engage with God's truth and embrace God's truth and walk God's truth out in our life. To be someone that is intentional and determined to do that to the best of our ability. To the best of our ability to do that. To understand and apply God's truth in every area of life. Let truth be your guide. Let truth be your guide. What is it that guides you? What is it that guides you in life? Who guides you in life? Who's going to hold your hand and help your journey? You've got to get truth. Like if I'm in trouble financially, I'm going to go and see a financial planner. I'm going to go and see an accountant. I'm going to go and see someone that understands money. I'm going to talk to someone that understands the language of money if I want to get the truth about money. So I get God's truth on it. And then I'm going to get some wisdom on it also so that I know how to run my money world well. I'm not going to listen to someone that doesn't have any money and doesn't know the rules of money and doesn't know the language of money. I'm going to listen to someone that knows how money works. When it comes to my health, I'm going to listen to the wisdom and the truth of God's word. Then I'm going to talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about when it comes to my health, that can educate me in that area. And you take that truth and principle and you apply it across every area of life, wherever you struggle with, and if you embrace the truth and engage the truth, you'll be a better person. You'll be a better human being, and you'll prosper in every area of life. So when the truth is in you, and when you walk in the truth, you will prosper in all things. I think that's what the Word of God speaks very loudly and clearly to us today. So that's premise one. Premise two is this, is that it's God's will. I believe this. It's God's will for you to be free of negatives and the limitations of life. God wants to set us free. That's what Jesus said. He said, "I have come to set you free. I've come to set you free." You know, one of the indicators of where the truth is that people are free. And unfortunately, what I've seen in church over many, many years is that oftentimes what is taught has not set people free. It's bound them up. You know, Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And it talks about it's so narrow that there's only this one point that you can enter life into in terms of relationship with God, and that's through Jesus, and it's through his name. And he's the only, you can't do it any other way. You can't believe your own way into the kingdom of God and into relationship with God. You can't do it by, you know, going off and living somewhere in the eastern part of the world and wearing funny clothes and smoking funny substances and sitting around fires and with a guitar and singing Kumbaya. That won't get you into the heart and presence of God either. What will is that one door, that one gate, that narrow road, which is through Jesus. But once you get through it, it's a broad life. It's a big life. It's an expansive life. It's a limitless life. It's a life that God wants to bring you into, prospering in all areas of life. That's the life of the kingdom of God. It's a fruitful, flourishing life. It talks about in the Psalms, it says that in the house of God, you'll be fruitful and you will grow fat in your old age. It does. It says that. And fat doesn't mean fat as in fat. I mean fat as in vital and green. So today in my old age, my determination is to become vital and green and healthy and fat and fully flourishing. And if I'm not, something's wrong. Something's wrong in my truth. Something's wrong in my truth, and I need to relearn my truth. And so the key for this premise is to obey the word of God. And to abide in the word of God and to know and live the truth of God's word. To know and live the truth of God's word. The same author, John, wrote the Gospel of John. And he says this, which is kind of a similar thought in John 8, 31 to 32, where he records where Jesus said this. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free." What will set you free? The truth that you know will set you free. Not just the truth, but the truth that you engage with, the truth that you embrace. And not just any truth, the truth. And Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." So as we engage with Jesus, as we engage with the Word of God, it brings a sense of freedom and liberty from the negatives of life, from the sin that dominates us and holds us back. It makes us better human beings, and it helps us to live a beautiful life. Anyone in the room want that today? Come on, I want a beautiful life. I want to be a better human being. I need you to be a better human being. We all need to be better human beings in so many ways. John went on and said this. He said, Jesus said that. "You're truly my disciples if you do what I ask." So a poor soul, which is the opposite of a prosperous soul, is this. A poor soul is when we know the truth, but we don't walk in it. When we know the truth, but we don't walk in it. So my question is this. If I'm not free, what's the issue? If I'm not free, what's the issue? What am I ignoring? What am I avoiding? What am I not embracing? What am I not engaging with from the Word of God about truth? Like if it comes to my financial world, am I engaging with what the Word of God says about that? I mean, am I giving? Am I honoring God? Am I putting God first? Because if I'm ignoring that, if I'm avoiding that, if I'm thinking, well, that's not important, that has no sense of value in my world, then I can't expect the blessing that comes from the giving. I can't expect the life, the blessed life that God promises, where he promises he will open the windows of heaven and pour out that blessing. I can't expect the promise if I'm not going to live on the premise. The premise comes before the promise, and so I've got to engage with the plan of God. If there's no peace, there's no joy in my relationships, what truth am I missing about that? And engage and embrace with truth. I have to examine where it's not working and find out why it's not working. John said this, same author. He said, where am I? I think I've lost this in my notes. Same author who wrote John 3 in John 8 says the same thing. Know the truth and walk in the truth. So what about the truth of praying in the Spirit, where the Bible talks about that? If I'm ignoring praying in the Spirit, can I expect to have the life that God says that I will have if I'm not praying in the Spirit? Because sometimes people say, well, I'm not into that. Well, it's a truth. It's a truth. You can't avoid and ignore the truth and expect the life, the beautiful life that God wants us to have. What about forgiveness? We need to forgive as we're forgiven. Well, there's no way I'm forgiving them. They did this. They said this. You have no idea, Pastor, what they did to me. Well, look what they did to Jesus. And Jesus said, we need to forgive the same way. It's a truth. You can't afford to avoid it or ignore it. We need to engage with it. So a poor soul is when we know the truth, but we don't walk in it. And when we're poor, we're restricted, we're bound emotionally, physically, financially, socially, spiritually, mentally. Jesus said it this way, obey the truth. Obey the truth. Obey my teachings and abide in my word. Abide in my word. I wonder how many ladies in the room today, before you gave birth to a child, read a book on childbirth. I wonder how many ladies did that in the old days. In the old days of preparation for childbirth, you'd read a book, and then once you had the child, what did you do with that book? You burnt the book. Because it's one thing to have the book, it's another thing to have the moment. And what about when a man says and makes out like he knows what it's like to give birth because he was there, you know? There is a big difference between the stars and the scars. Like the man has the stars, the woman has the scars. Man has stars, the woman has the scars. You can't say to her, I know what you felt, I know what it was like, I was there. It doesn't work like that. It's only those that have been through it. So it's the truth you know, it's the truth you engage, it's the truth you embrace, it's the truth that has become a part of you that you walk in. It's called experiential truth. And that's how this is mentioned in the Bible, where Jesus said you'll know the truth. Knowing the truth, what he means is it's the truth that you bond with. It's the truth that you absorb into your mind and your heart and into your soul. It's the truth that you walk out. That's the truth that you set free. You're not just released into freedom because you hear a sermon. Or you can quote a scripture. Like you can quote the scriptures till the cows come home. But until you engage with it and embrace it and believe it and have it absorbed into your soul, until you learn to fight the good fight of faith with it and refuse to let go, that is the truth that sets your soul really free and takes you onto a new level of life. And so the level of prosperity that I enjoy in my soul is determined by the level of prosperity that happens in every other area. It determines the level of prosperity in every other area of my life because I walk in the truth that I have embraced. My last premise is God wants you to prosper. God wants to fill your life with all kinds of precious and pleasant riches. The key to this premise is that I learn to apply God's wisdom to my life. To build a house, a life, that's what a house means, to build a life that is built by wisdom. Wisdom is simply knowledge applied. So it's truth applied. So when I apply truth, that's wisdom. Wisdom. Proverbs 24, one of my favorite verses, says this in regards to that. It says, through wisdom a house is built, and through understanding a house is established. By knowledge, all the rooms of that house are filled with all kinds of precious and pleasant riches. What a beautiful way to describe a life. A life or a house. That every room of the house is filled with beautiful and pleasant, precious riches. That's how God wants your life to be. That's a beautiful life. Treasures that are precious, treasures that are pleasant. And that comes through understanding, that establishes that. That comes through knowledge that fills the rooms with those beautiful treasures. And that comes through wisdom that builds that kind of house. As we talked about a few weeks ago, in terms of a lot of the things we believe for in life, it's not that we're trapped. The truth is we're not trapped. The truth is we're tricked. We're tricked. We're tricked by our emotions. We're tricked by our environments. We're tricked by what people have said to us. We're tricked by other truths and traditions that we have allowed to absorb into our soul that we've believed and we've embraced them, and those truths guide us on a different pathway. So it's not that we are trapped. We're not trapped. We can always be set free. And we're set free by the truth of God's word. We're set free by the work of the Holy Spirit. We're set free of the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. So we're not ever trapped. So wherever you are today, you can be set free. You're simply tricked. You're simply tricked. We all get tricked. Tricked by the lies of the enemy. The Bible says the Satan is the father of all lies. And so lots of lies and lots of half-truths and lots of things that have a portion of truth in them, but they're not God's truth. It's humanism. It's not the Word of God. And we need to make sure we're embracing God's truth and God's Word so that we'll live not tricked and that we will know that we're not trapped, but we can actually be set free. Can I have our team come to stage today? Would you stand with me right across the hall? You're not trapped. We're tricked. And to get out of the trap, it's truth. Truth is the key that gets us out of the trap. John wrote and said, Gaius, I pray that you'd prosper. I pray that you'd be in good health. I pray you'd prosper in every area of your life, in all things, according to the prosperity of your soul. And so our prayer as we go on this journey together over the next number of weeks is that God will help set us free in different areas of our soul. We've all got different areas we need to work on. We've all got different areas we need to work on. For some of us, the drama of our life just gets complicated because we're allowing our decisions to be based on our emotions, not a determined mind. Not a determined mind. See, a determined mind can have a feeling rise and it decides, I'm not going to own that feeling because it's not appropriate. It's not right. It's not going to take me anywhere that's healthy or anywhere that's good. You allow your mind to guide how you want to live and how you want to respond and how you want to relate and who you want to be. The hierarchy of your soul is really important. It's really important. So we're going to unpack these thoughts to help us prosper in all ways. It's my prayer that we prosper relationally. It's my prayer that we prosper socially. That the church wouldn't be isolated in the community. It was never intended to be that. That's why we do things like the Fun Day. They're important to do. To engage with our city, to engage with other people, and just to be real and just have some fun. I think it's a good deal. It's so easy to be religious, though, and just hide and just be a church and just have services and hide in the auditorium and do our thing rather than take the life out there and let it shine like Jesus talked about. It's so easy to be unhealthy in your money. So easy. So easy just to be an impulse spender. So easy to let things get out of control. It's so easy. It's hard to manage. It's hard to budget. It's hard to be deliberate. It's hard to be intentional. It's not easy to look after your body. It's hard. It's hard work. It takes a determined response. It's hard to look after your spirit, to pray, to read the Bible, to fellowship, to connect, to build community with people, to get into the presence of Jesus and pray. It's a discipline to do that. Everything requires effort. Everything requires determination. Everything requires intentionality. You don't default to having a prosperous soul. A prosperous soul is something you determine to build. Jesus talked of it in this way. He said there's two men that built two houses. They built them on different foundations. One foundation was stone, one foundation was sand. They looked exactly the same from the outside. But what was going on inside was very different on those foundations. And so when the challenges of life came, and Jesus talked about storms and tornadoes that came and cyclones that came, and when the flood torrents came, he says the house that was built on the sand, it just washed away. But the house that was built on the solid foundation, it stood the test. And he said, that solid foundation is my word. It's my word. Can I say this in regards to God's word? Don't hold it lightly. It's something to be intentional about, because this is a word that will bring great blessing to your soul and it'll help you build a beautiful soul. Would you close your eyes? Help you build a beautiful soul. Help you build a prosperous soul. John the Apostle spoke to Gaius and said, it's the truth that you abide in. It's the truth that abides in you and that you walk in that is giving you this platform of this prosperous soul. Jesus said this about his truth. He said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you're going to flourish in every area of life. He says, I will abide in you. I will abide in you. And so one of the big questions and thoughts as we approach this series of conversations is, what am I allowing to abide in me? What am I allowing to abide in me that is affecting me in different areas of my soul? And I need to learn to have a resilience that enables me to have a sense of soul control, so I don't surrender my soul to everybody else or to the different seasons or circumstances and situations that happen. And we all have those. You can't control the seasons. You can't control the circumstances. You can't control the things of life that happen. But you can always be the captain of your soul. You can always be the captain of your own soul. It's like it's your own ecosystem. Your own greenhouse right here, where you get to determine how you are going to be and how you are going to operate. See, in an ecosystem, what happens is all the components are in connection. They're all connected together. They all work together. And that's what happens with your mind and your emotions and your will. They're connected together. They affect each other to determine how your soul presents itself and the journey that your soul enjoys. So I want to go on a journey of building a prosperous soul and helping us all by speaking God's truth into these different areas. I want to invite you not to miss it. I want to invite you to commit to be here, to be a part of the journey as we journey together, because the truth is so real, it's so important, it's so valuable for every one of us, because the promise is that we can prosper in all areas of our life, in all areas of our life. So I don't know what's not working for you today. I don't know what's not working, but we've all got areas that aren't working as well as they should. And so today we want to surrender those areas to God and to say, God, help me. Help me to know your truth and embrace your truth and engage your truth and walk your truth out in my life. I want to have a prosperous soul. I want to have a healthy, blessed inner man. Father, I pray today for every person in this room. I pray today for every family that's represented in this room today. I pray that we would engage the truth of God today. I pray that we would embrace the truth of God today. I pray that we would walk out what we believe today, because when we walk it out, when we possess it, when we own it, when we abide in it, you abide in us and your word abides in us and your truth abides in us. When we do it that way, Father, we're set free. And I pray for people today that have been bound, that have been limited, that have been hindered in different areas of life. For some, it's been generational. It's been their father and their mother were exactly the same. And it's been passed down from generation to generation to generation. It's become environmental. It's become just the way we are. It's become, this is who we are. This is who our people are. And God, your truth wants to challenge that and change that and set people free. Set people free. Set people free. We're not trapped. We're tricked by it. And today, we want to take the mask of it off and say it can be better. It can be better. So we surrender ourselves to you. We stand before you, God, and we pray for your help. We pray you'd help every one of us to be better human beings, to be more in love with Jesus, to be more in control of our own soul, to lead the life that we want to live and to be the people that we want to be. We refuse to accept the lies of life and the lies of the enemy today. Today we embrace the truth of God's word. We embrace it, we engage with it, and we walk in it in Jesus' name. That is my intention. That is my determination. I want to be the captain of my own soul. Amen. Amen. Come on, church.